Canucks Central Tuesday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics, working together with you in step. This hour of Canucks Central brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. A fast lunch doesn't have to mean fast food. Satisfy your midday cravings by choosing a main, side, and drink for only $15. Served in 20 minutes or less. Sat, you enjoying the Stanley Cup playoffs?
What's there to not enjoy? The only thing
What's not to enjoy? I'll tell you what's not to enjoy.
I gave up
on the Oilers last night, and I exclusively was watching Dallas, Colorado.
Yeah.
Okay?
And you missed the
entire comeback.
You missed the chaos.
I missed the chaos.
Yeah.
Now, yes, Dallas, Colorado was quite good in overtime.
Yeah, it was.
It was quite fast.
Really fast. I mean, the game ended pretty quickly,
so
too.
It was definitely hard to turn away from what was going on in that overtime.
Yeah.
But like, I'm double screening with Twitter and it's just like, the Oilers scored again. Oh, McDavid again. McDavid, it's 5-5. Oh, yeah. Now it's 6-5. And Josh is making bad jokes on Twitter. It's just like, all things are happening. And I'm just
they
like,
great jokes.
I had the worst night of my life on the remote.
On the remote,
yeah.
Really? So you just made every wrong decision. Every time you flipped, went to nothing.
I was terrible. You know.
So you didn't handle the remote well.
I was Easton Lucas.
Oh, okay. So we can't trust you with the remote then.
Yeah, that's what I was. Yeah,
all right.
That's the kind of night I had.
So don't you get two screens going?
I should. I should more often.
You should get two screens going.
But you know, I know with Rogers Xfinity, you can split them now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll have to invest.
I mean, clearly
to learning how to do this,
because clearly you're not handling it well.
No.
So you gotta let technology do it. There's too much happening. You gotta let technology do it for you.
You know, Sunday the games are all stacked on top of each other, so you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah,
I like watching one game at a time. I'm that guy.
You don't like flipping around?
No, I don't like having two screens. It's too much. Too much. Like, it's too much for one.
You can't
one
focus.
Viewing. I can't focus.
You can't focus. Yeah.
Need a playoff red zone.
Like the first round good. for first round that would be good.
Yeah, after that.
Especially nights like last night and tonight.
Yeah. But it's hard for hockey because in red zone it's clear like you're in the red zone.
Yes.
Like you can't just be like we're in the neutral zone. Go to this game. You know, like it doesn't quite work.
Well,
that way.
You can do it with power plays and stuff like that.
Yeah, I suppose. Which, but then you're just watching special teams.
Yes.
I kind of had the opposite night. I was watching Oilers Kings and then I had a immediate flip over to Stars Avalanche and it worked out real good.
Yeah. So you got both.
Yeah.
So you got everything and Reach got nothing.
And it was wonderful.
Yeah. It was, I was lucky. The only thing I got right, I turned in back in onto Dallas, Colorado just in time for Colin Blackwell's winner.
There you go. So you got to see that at least.
I got to see that in all the chaos. All right, let's get to the open.
Welcome to the open.
Mom! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
Yes, it's the open on Canucks Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. The latest is there's a day after the end of season news conference. And sifting through some of the reaction to what Patrick Alvin had to say on our show and what Jim Rutherford and Patrick Alvin had to say yesterday to the masses as well, there's not a ton of confidence in where this team is headed right now, Sat.
No, and even the team itself didn't express this air of confidence either, in the sense of the future of Quinn Hughes, with how Rutherford handled that question as well. So if the biggest part of your organization on the ice and his situation is uncertain, it's going to create at least a sense of destabilization.
There it is.
There we go. Finally got it through. But I think for some Canucks fans, I think they're like, yeah, whatever. Like they'll be fine. But I think a lot of them are concerned more about Quinn now after yesterday.
Yeah.
And ultimately, you know, this whole team's future, as far as competitive in the next 4 to 5 years, it hinges on Quinn Hughes being here.
Yes.
So if the organization can't express confidence about Quinn Hughes' future, how are you going to feel confident as a fan today?
It's next to impossible. You know, it's all fun and games and that whole Hughes quote and everything else, and doesn't look like there's going to be any tampering fine coming to Jim Rutherford's doorstep for the time being. But
I guess the NHL just they're like, you know what? I'm just going to leave it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to leave it.
Probably best okay. to just
I'll
leave it.
I'll leave it.
There's a lot of low-hanging fruit. But
I'll leave it.
We'll leave it. You know, it's funny. It's great. He's saying what everybody's kind of thinking. But at the same time, it does really put out a bat signal for how dire things, well, not how dire things are, that's the wrong word for it, but how urgent
yes.
things are to get things right.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's a real sense of urgency, and there was also a reality check about how difficult it is going to be.
Yeah.
Like, they made it very clear it's going to be hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be an easy thing to do here.
Yeah.
It's something we've discussed that, hey, when you look at the possibilities, maybe they have more information than we do, and they clearly do. But based on the things that we can gather, there aren't a lot of avenues because there aren't a ton of players available, whether it's via trade nor the free agent market. So how are you going to do this? And that was confirmed
mm-hmm.
by Rutherford and Alvin that, yeah, there aren't a lot of, you know, ways to do this, but we're going to try, and we're going to be willing to pay a price to do so. So I think they're trying to, they said the right things about their desires, and it's very clear they're trying to find that player via trade, and it's clear they're willing to pay a big price for it, right? Because what did Rutherford say? The cost of not getting a center might be higher.
And to me, what he meant by that is the cost of not getting a center is probably losing Quinn Hughes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the price you're going to have to pay if you don't get the center you need this summer.
So is there a price they won't pay?
Doesn't feel like it.
Right?
First round pick, Tom Volander, sure, yeah. Let's go. Depends on the player, obviously, but
ultimately, you can always win a trade. You can always get the player that's available if you're willing to pay more than anybody else.
Yeah.
Are the Canucks going to be that team this offseason that is willing to pay more than anybody else for the top players available?
Well, they did that sort of with Filip Hronek and also with Marcus Patterson.
Yeah, I'd say, well, Hronek, he wasn't really available to everybody. It was Yzerman called the Canucks strategically and made the trade.
But it's not like they didn't pay a high price for
it. It was a first and a second.
Yeah.
Fair, right? Like, you know, it's not a cheap price to pay.
No.
But that's going to be the thing to me.
The one I wonder about, because and this always comes into the conversation when you're the Vancouver Canucks. It's like, yeah, you're willing to pay a high price, but in the few instances where a top six center might come available, you won't be the only team likely interested in that player.
No, but if you are...
And is your package better than what's matching? You know, then it comes down to like what the team, you know, the acquiring team or the team trading that top six center really covets
okay.
as far as what they're looking at.
You're right. And I think partly it comes down to that. But I do think we shouldn't dismiss the idea. And I know we talked to Yannick a lot, and he mentions how none of these guys are going to get you the player the Canucks want. And I'm not sure I agree with that. Yes, he's right. Like, DPD in and of himself isn't going to bring you back, say, Alex Lafreniere. You know
right.
what I mean? That's not going to happen. But can you make a package that is compelling around a player like that with a first-round pick? Yes. And here's where I would express some confidence. This team, this front office, when they want to make a deal, make a deal.
Well, right? they're not afraid to pay the high price.
No, and
they don't shy away from paying high prices.
Obviously, we can talk about how they handled the Zadorov and Lindholm things ultimately,
yes.
but could they have made deals? I mean, they were there for the making. The Zadorov one was really intricate in how it got there. And you know, Zadorov, he essentially took the same money from Boston, but felt that he didn't get the offer early enough in Vancouver, right? But nonetheless, Lindholm, if they would have paid Lindholm a bit more, they could have kept him.
Yeah.
But they drew that line. Is this a year where that line's not going to be drawn? So that's where I think if the Canucks are going head-to-head for the best players available, I feel good about the Canucks' chances of acquiring them. Now, I'm not sure how Canucks fans are going to feel about the price that's going to get paid.
Yes.
Because I don't think the Canucks are going to say no to a certain price. I think this is going to be an offseason where they will pay above retail to get somebody. I don't think they're going to be afraid of doing that. And I think they prepared us for the possibility of Quinn leaving, but also the reality that they're going to pay a heavy price to get something that they feel like is going to help this team next season.
Nate in Richmond mentioning Bo Horvat has a name. Dylan Larkin's a name that's come up on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox in the past. Alexis Lafreniere is somebody we've talked about that you've mentioned as well in the past. It makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
You know, Emily Castonguay was his agent in the past, so there's connections there, but ultimately, do the Rangers want to give up on a guy that he just gave a pretty big contract to last summer and who was a first overall pick, is 23 years old, 6'3". Again, not many guys in the league have a power-speed combo like Alexis Lafreniere.
No, scored 28 goals last season, right? And when you have, to your point, the combination of skill, speed, and size, and the fact he's only 23, and power players like that take some time, you know what I mean? Like, he has the potential to become one of the most impactful wingers in the league.
Yeah.
Like, he still has that potential. So are the Rangers really going to trade that? Like, I'm not sure. And maybe he never gets there. And ultimately, maybe they should trade him, right? And I think that's one of the reasons you think about it. But I could see the Canucks being in on it if he is available.
Yeah.
But if he's not, then you go through the list of, okay, who's going to be the next player available? And one thing that I'm waiting to see here, is especially when we see the postseason unfold here, is do we get to a point this offseason where something unexpected becomes available? Like, we're not seeing it now. And right now it looks very, it's a gloomy outlook for the Canucks in terms of the market. But that can change, though, with one or two disappointing exits and one player having a situation change for him. And that happens a lot. Every offseason, something comes available, right?
Yeah.
And I do think, as much as based on what we heard and based on, you know, the dose of reality we all kind of took the past 24 hours here, that the Canucks, I do think, are going to do what it takes here to get better. And I see people saying, don't do the panic moves like Roussel and Beagle. The Canucks don't need players like that. I think they realize that. What they need...
they're looking for top-end players.
Exactly. And I don't think they're going to be spending assets. And that's a big reason why. As good as Suter has been, he's not getting a contract right now.
Others on the text inbox don't love the idea of Horvat. Yeah, I'm there with you. We've talked about this before. But... it's Vancouver, and there is a lust for wanting to bring back former players on the team.
Vancouver's always the market that likes going back to exes.
Yes.
You know, the former GM, the former head coach.
Can't give
former,
it up.
Former this. Always go back to the good times that happened with somebody else, and you forgot about all the bad times that led to your breakup in the first place.
Others are saying, loud Titans fan, why don't they just give up on 43 now, trade him for max value,
you can't
and open it up to the entire league?
You can't honestly, that's a cowardly way of doing it.
It is.
You have one more year to deal with it. You try what you can to keep players like Quinn Hughes. This organization,
only go into a rebuild.
This organization's been around for 55 years.
Yeah.
And you're not going to have the stomach to try to make it work with the best player this team's ever had, maybe? Come on. Like, that's a loser's mentality. And I think what the team has to do is give it 1 year.
Yeah.
You do what you can this offseason, and then you might have to face reality next year. But I think,
honestly, it's foolish
to not give it one more go here. It's foolish. You have to, even if it's a 5% chance, you have to try when you have a player like Quinn Hughes.
It's
absolutely
the ultimate go big or go home situation for the Canucks. And they're going big right now. If it doesn't work out, yeah, get ready. You're going to get the long rebuild that you wanted, because once Quinn Hughes is gone, you're forced into it.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter. You have to try. If there's a 1% chance he stays, you have to give it a go. How do you not give it a go?
Yeah.
And do you think the package is going to be different this year or next year for Quinn Hughes?
No.
It doesn't matter.
You're going to get a haul if you have to end up exploring a trade for Quinn Hughes. There is absolutely no doubt about that.
Don't be cowardly. Don't give up so quickly.
It's crazy how much 12 months changes things. Like, 12 months ago, there was a lot of confidence in this organization, in this front office. Today, less so. They've got a big offseason ahead. I don't know where the big acquisition comes from, but it's obvious they're willing to go to any length to get that player, because that's ultimately what they need. As Rutherford put it yesterday, the cost of not getting that player is going to be even more expensive. And he alluded to, we probably need three forwards.
Which is obvious. I mean, so Suter
you
and
need
Besser.
A top six center, another top six forward, and then probably like a middle six-ish type guy.
So Suter and Besser don't have contracts.
Yeah.
And even if they kept them, they have to add one more guy.
Yeah.
You know.
So there's your three. As for Brock Besser, Alvin, yesterday on our show, did leave the door open for a Besser return, but admits he'll probably have a look at July 1. And then if Besser doesn't get the deal that he wants, can circle back to the Canucks and see if they can work out something then. So that's where it stands with Brock Besser. Quickly into the Canucks Central Roundup. Don Taylor's going to join us after 4:30. Derek Forbert underwent surgery on his face for the broken bone suffered by the punch from Yakov Trenin. And there is a potential of him re-signing with the Canucks, as we've talked about and as Rick Dhaliwal also mentioned on Twitter today. It's an interesting one because, you know, they had the emergence of Elias Pettersson and Victor Mancini. I know Forbert was a really good find for them, but ultimately, how does that look if Derek Forbert remains with the Canucks?
Well, I mean, I want to see Forbert come back because I do think they need a veteran around anyways. Mm-hmm. And I think as much as Mancini acquitted himself well, there's not room for everybody here. We'll see what happens via trade as well on all these guys, right? But I think Forbert coming back is still within the realm of possibility.
Yeah.
The question is just going to be, can he get a bit more than what he got this year because there aren't a ton of players available this offseason?
Similar to Ian Cole's situation from last year. NHL is not pursuing tampering charges on Rutherford, also per Rick Dhaliwal. So Rutherford got away with that one, I guess we could say. Islanders will not be renewing the contract for Lou Lamoriello, so they are in search of a new general manager on the island, which, you know, I mean, there's two ways of looking at Lou Lamoriello's tenure, because obviously it hasn't gone well the last few years. He locked that team into a lot of long-term contracts that probably aren't going to age very well. Some are already not aging very well. But the early part of his tenure, he kind of brought the Islanders back from being a laughingstock around the league and restored a little bit of credibility to that franchise, even if they're in a pretty tough spot themselves right now.
Yeah, I mean,
7 years is a long time. So.
Somewhat, yeah. And I mean, they had a couple of runs, had a couple.
Of trips to the Eastern Conference Final.
Yeah,
right?
They made the playoffs consistently, yeah. Although they've been out in the first round a lot the last little bit. But you're right. I mean, I think for all the criticism, I think he did a pretty good job of stabilizing an organization that hasn't had a lot of stability.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, they had the whole situation with Tavares leaving and all those other things that happened. And I do think they needed a new direction, though.
Yes.
Because as good as Lamoriello's been, like, I don't know.
It's kind
know.
Of been going nowhere the last couple of years.
Yeah, and I do think they need to really progress as an organization.
Yeah. I'm curious what, you know, a new set of eyes does with this roster, because, as I mentioned, yeah, it is kind of going nowhere. There's been a couple of ugly contracts there. You don't have Noah Dobson locked in. You know, what direction are you taking this franchise if you take it over? Is it let's tear down what we have and start a rebuild, or is it let's try to figure it out with what we've got and try to retool for a better future ahead? It's not an easy situation going into that Islanders team.
Well, they're locked in. I don't think they have a choice but to try to do a retool.
Yeah.
It's like you try
to Pulak and Pellick for basically ever still.
Yeah, I think you do your best to trade a couple of guys.
Yeah.
And you try not to extend the few guys that are older. But I think they have no choice because of that Barzal locked up, Horvat locked up, and they got to figure out what they're doing with Noah Dobson. I would imagine they're going to sign him to a long-term deal.
Yeah.
I can't imagine they trade him.
That would be somewhat silly.
Yeah. But
stranger things have happened, I guess you could say. Jampro, from conference rooms to kitchenettes and everything in between, Jampro keeps workplaces tidy, clean, and disinfected. For a free quote, visit jampro.ca. Hey, do want to get in a couple of thoughts on the Stanley Cup playoffs as they continue onward. The Edmonton Oilers, as a joke comes in, who had a worse night? Reach with the remote or Evan Bouchard with the puck?
Ooh, Evan Bouchard's was more costly.
Yeah.
I know you missed the live goals, those were more costly.
I wasn't actually playing in the playoff game, so thankfully. Evan Bouchard had a really tough night.
It's rough, man. Like, Evan Bouchard's really good offensively. This year has taken a bit of a step back.
Without Ekholm, you notice a lot more of the warts.
Yeah.
In his game. And that is something. I know they came back, and I know the narrative's going into the series, but they're not getting saves from Stuart Skinner. They don't know who their goalie is for game two. And Bouchard is nowhere near the player he was when he turned it up a notch and was one of, if not you know, he was right there with McDavid and Draisaitl for how good he was against the Canucks last
year. He was
year.
Unreal. At the same time, he did have three assists last night.
Yeah.
So that's what you're getting with Bouchard. You're getting a lot of production. He's going to give you something at the end of the day, right? But that's also ultimately why he wasn't on the Four Nations team.
Yeah.
He had 82 points last year and didn't make the Four Nations team.
Is the speed of the game just not always startling? Even like every year when the Stanley Cup playoffs begin, it's just like, holy smokes, how are these guys moving as fast as they are?
And the thing is, it's not even all the teams that are fast. Everyone just plays with full effort.
Yes.
That's what happens, right? Like, it's just everyone's maxing out every shift.
Yeah.
And the intensity is unreal.
It's, you know, I know a lot of people are always like, well, Canucks would have just absolutely gotten torched in this kind of a series or in these playoffs. They can't match any of these teams. It's like, yeah, sure. The Canucks at the end of the year were just... You know, who was on the roster at the end of the year? Pew Suter was their number one center. All due respect to Pew Suter.
And hey, man, Pew Suter was
played well. And he played well.
He was really good.
Okay, sorry.
It's like the guy's had a better stretch than Pettersson had.
Jeez. Max Sasson was their number two center.
All right, fair.
Poor Max.
Hey, Max had a great rookie campaign for the most part.
He had a great showing in the games he played with the Canucks, but... Yeah, as your number two center, he's not there yet.
I'm just kidding about Pew Suter, but I think Pew Suter just played so well down the stretch. It's just hard to be like, yeah, they have Pew Suter in the top six. The guy was like point per game for 20 games. Yeah. Like 20 points in his last 21 games or whatever it was.
I do know the Canucks are well coached.
Were you going to say the cannolis?
The Canucks. The cannolis. I could go for a cannoli right now. Cannoli King up there on...
You've gone too far with your Italian.
Hastings and Broadway.
You changed the Canucks name.
Yeah.
The cannolis. That would be a pretty funny team name.
The logo is just...
I know Rick Tocchet would just, like, you know, trap it up till kingdom come, and then the Canucks would be able to, like, hang in games. Because that's what they do.
The Canucks trap it up?
Yeah.
The Canucks don't play a trap.
No, they don't. But
yeah,
Canucks Twitter would think that they do.
Yeah, I mean...
Would have you think so.
Yeah, but I do think the Canucks... will trap themselves into not doing anything oftentimes, yes. But they don't actually play, you know, a 1-3-1.
No, they do not. All right, we're going to get into more of the Stanley Cup playoff discussion. Don Taylor is going to join us, his takeaways from yesterday's season-end news conference, and more still to come as we're expecting a PWHL in Vancouver announcement tomorrow. Ian Kennedy is going to join us to talk about that after 5 o'clock. You are listening to Canuck Central.